The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Mighty God, you breathe life into our bones, and your Spirit brings truth to the world. Send us this Spirit, transform us by your truth, and give us language to proclaim your gospel. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. I'm going to need your help, girls and guys. Can I sit right here? They are balloons. You know what? Now listen carefully, because this is what we're going to do with these balloons. We're going to blow them up. We're not going to tie them. And we're going to hold them until I tell you. I've got more balloons than kids. So I want you to go out into the congregation and ask somebody to blow them up for you and then hand it back to you. So give out four or five. Go see if somebody will help you out. Go see if somebody will help you out. Blow up those balloons and then hold on to them. Hold on to him. Go give that balloon to somebody to help you blow it up. Okay, here to Lilith. Here's some for you.
I know how to blow balloons.
Okay, you know somebody that can blow it up. Go get them and then hand those out to people. Okay, go give them. Give as many as you can. Give as many as you can. Put your hand up if you want a balloon. Put your hand up. Hand them a balloon. We need you to blow up balloons. Blow up a balloon. Hang on to it. Blow up. We need more. We need more. We need some more balloons. Blow them up. Blow them up. Whoa! Here, I'll give you another one. An overachiever. Okay, blow them up. Okay. Blow them up. Hang on to them. Hang on to it. Come on up and sit down up here. Hang on. Okay. Come on back. Come on back. And if you have a balloon, just hang on to it. Okay. I'll hold that one for you so you can blow up the other one.
No. Rub it on your hair.
Okay. Okay. All right. Good. Good job. Oh, that's good. Hang on to him. Are there any? Don't tie it. Do not tie it. Don't tie it. Just hang on to it. Okay, here you go. I'll trade you.
Oh, I'm going to have that one.
Okay, here, hang on. Hang on. Okay, so now you've got a balloon in your hand.
No, I want
it. All right, hang on to it. Hold it up. Everybody hold up your balloon. On the count of three, let it go. One, two, three. Let them go. Whoa! That's how the Holy Spirit works. You never know where it's going to go, and you never know what's going to happen. So the Holy Spirit is filling our church with God's love. So now you're going to go to Sunday school and hear more about it. So would you carry the Bible out? All right, carry the Bible out.
Here,
you can keep it. Okay, thank you. Go.
All the children of the world,
you can have it. Put it in your pocket.
Black and white, they are precious in His sight.
Yep.
Jesus loves the little children of the world.
A reading from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not these all who are speaking Galileans? And how is it we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're all filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 104 responsively. How manifold are your works, O Lord. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide, with its swarms too many to number, living things both small and great. There go the ships to and fro, and Leviathan, which you made for the sport of it. All of them look to you to give them their food in due season. You give it to them, they gather it. You open your hand, and they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, and they are created. And so you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. O Lord, rejoice in all your works. You look at the earth, and it trembles. You touch the mountains, and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God while I have my being. May these words of mine please God. I will rejoice in the Lord. Bless the soul, O my soul. Alleluia. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from Romans. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we await for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. But in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Word of God, word of life.
Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from my Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears and will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. To symbolize the giving of the Holy Spirit, Jesus breathed on the disciples. That word, breathed on, is only used this one place in the New Testament. In the Hebrew scriptures, it's used a number of times. That word, breathed on, is used in Genesis, where God breathes the breath of life into the nostrils of the being that God had formed out of the clay. And that creature becomes a living being. That word breathed on, it's ruah. That word is used in the book of Ezekiel, where the breath is breathed on those dry bones so that they might live. And it's used again one time in one of the apocryphal books where Solomon writes that God breathed a living spirit into them. One of my pastor friends teaches a very simple three-step process to her parishioners whenever she starts a counseling lesson or appointment. She teaches this three-step. I'm going to teach it to you now. It's very easy. You'll catch on. Breathe in. Step two, breathe out. Step three, repeat. Just breathe. Just breathe. Health experts tell us that shallow breathing is what it can cause stress. And shallow breathing causes more stress. It's caused by stress and then it causes more stress. So those shallow breaths just don't bring in enough oxygen into our system. And that's what we need. You know, those heavy sighs when we are very sad or when we're depressed, those are signs not only that we're sad and depressed, but they're signs that our body is trying to compensate for the lack of oxygen in our system. Your body forces you to take a deep breath. A sigh too deep for words is your body seeking oxygen. Take a deep breath. When we've got a lot going on, springtime, all the celebrations that we have, graduation parties, vacation preparations, always meetings and meetings, golf outings and lunch with friends and reading and homework and housework, there are times when we need to just be reminded to take a breath. Breathe in. Breathe out. Repeat. The apostles needed to be reminded to breathe too. Just think of all that had gone on the previous 50 days before this Pentecost event that we heard about in the reading that Gail read for us. That wonderful Last Supper, sad and yet meaningful, where Jesus prayed for his disciples and said goodbye to them. And then his arrest and the crucifixion. There was a lot of sighing going on Friday and Saturday. And then those sighs turned to gasps of wonder at the news of the resurrection. And then Jesus' many appearances as he continued to teach them about forgiveness and love and the kingdom of God. And just as the disciples caught their breath, Jesus told them that he would again leave them. And they watched breathless as he was taken from their sight. They must have felt like the wind had been knocked out of them with all the stress and confusion that would have been audible on that ascension day as Jesus told them to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. And they did go back and they did wait. But what were they supposed to be waiting for? And how long were they supposed to wait? Luke tells us in the story from the Acts of the Apostles that they were all together waiting. For how long? For what? They waited in wonder and in anticipation. And then they heard a wind. Not a little breeze fluttering the curtains, but a gale force wind that shook the whole house. And everyone was filled with the breath of God. A gale force wind that was so loud that people in the city gathered by that house wondering, what the heck is going on in there? Wondering. They were so filled with the power of God that they couldn't hold it in. They were inspired. They were on fire. Those stressed out, closed-mouthed disciples had found themselves now preaching about God and what God had done in their lives. And the people listened. Some of them thought that these God-proclaiming disciples were drunk. They couldn't explain it any other way. Not only were they hearing these spirited words, oh yeah, we call that spirits, don't we? Now that we hear these spirited words of God's mighty acts, they were hearing them in their own languages. Now, I've been preaching and listening to sermons for a long time, and I know that we all have ways of not listening to sermons. Sometimes we listen and we just say, well, that's not for me. I know, she's not talking to me. That must be for somebody else. That's one way that we tune out. Or maybe we just tune out. We let our minds wander. We're somewhere else. It's not either not for me or I'm not paying attention. There is no way that those people on Pentecost Day could say, this obviously isn't for me, because they were hearing it in their own language. I think not only if I were giving a sermon and saying I'm going to speak your language, well, I guess I probably am speaking your language in some way because I'm speaking English. And I guess everybody in here has English as either a first or second or third language and be able to understand the words that I'm saying. But if I really want to use your words, I would have to speak not only your language that you use in communication, but also the culture. So because I'm old, occasionally I need to have a culture coach because I want to be relevant. So for example, I went to the preschool, one of the preschool teachers who's in her 20s, and I said, give me another word for fuddy-duddy. And she said, I have no idea what a fuddy-duddy, what you're talking about. And I said, well, I don't want to sound like a fuddy-duddy saying that word, so give me another word. But I had to explain to her what it was. So it's like that. I think the people hearing that word of God that day not only heard in the language of their mother tongue, but also it was so relevant to them. Spoken in a language and in a manner that they couldn't dismiss. They couldn't say, that's not for me. God's word from these fire-breathing, gasping, and panting disciples was indeed meant for them. Luke tells us later in this same story that 3,000 people became disciples that day as a result of hearing that sermon from Peter and the disciples. This was the birth of the church. People from far and wide, from all different kinds of traditions and languages, different cultures, ages, and races, they all heard the disciples speaking about God and about how God was at work in their lives and in the world. That breath of God blowing freely and wildly. The breath of God filled their lungs and gave them strength and power that they hadn't dreamt possible. And Christ's body, the church, began to grow. You still have those balloons? Until, if you have one in your hand, okay. So look at this balloon. It is without a breath in it. It's lifeless. It's just nothing. And even with breath in it, it still isn't going to go anywhere until it's released. Translate that to the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You have the Holy Spirit in your life. You are like the inflated balloon that has God's power inside of you. In your heart and soul is God's love and God's working in you. But until you release it, it just stays there. We release it by telling what God has done in your life, and what is God doing in the world today? You can't control it. I mean, when we let go of those balloons, they went anywhere they wanted to go, right? We can't even direct them. The power of God leads and takes us places we might not know where we're going, but we know it's going somewhere. You let go of that balloon and it's going to go somewhere. We don't know where, but it will go somewhere. Or it just explodes right in front of us. Surprise! God's at work. Jesus did not give the disciples the Spirit's power so that they could stay behind those locked doors in fear. The Spirit's power was given to move those people out into the world, even though they did not know where they would end up. What happens to the balloon after it has spent its power? It seems lifeless again, out of breath. We are not like the balloon. Jesus promised that the Spirit would remain with us forever. We will never run out of the Spirit's power. In the waters of baptism, we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. We will never run out of the Spirit's power, but we do need to be renewed. We need to be refreshed. We need to be reminded of the power of the Spirit that is ours. That's why we come to the font and to the table every week. We need refilling. We need to receive Jesus again and again in the hearing of the Word, in the sharing of Holy Communion, and in the fellowship of the faith community. The breath of God is still blowing today. The Pentecost story is not just a record of an event from long ago. This is God's continuing story. This is how God works today. Breathe in deeply and know that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are Pentecost people, filled with the breath of God, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And release that breath, release that power, release that Spirit in telling of God's deeds of power in your life. And then repeat. Breathe in the Spirit and breathe out God's powerful words. Breathe in the Holy Spirit and breathe out telling of God's power in your life. Don't forget to breathe. Amen.